You're listening to the Barry Egan Tapes on News Talk. I'm Barry Egan from the Sunday Independent. I'm talking with Deirdre O'Kane. Deirdre, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Dad's from England, your mum's from Derry. How did that shape you?
Well, I can't define my dad as being from England, but he was born there. He was born there, but he was very much an Irishman. But I'd say my mother being from Derry probably shaped me a lot.
How so?
Derry people are unique, you know. And she's a huge person. Like, she's got a very big personality, strong. She's a force. Like, so I think if you have a parent who is a force, then that...
So you weren't allowed to be dull in your family growing up almost?
Absolutely not an option. She would, in fact, I'm pretty sure that she's the reason I ended up being a comic, because she would... It was always a very noisy house when we were kids. There's five of us. And
Were you the fourth or something?
Fourth of five, yeah. But if you came back from the town, she'd say, well, how'd you get on the town? Any crack, any news? And if you said no, she'd say, make it up, love, make it up. It was just like, it's not so an option to be coming in here without a yarn.
You're obliged to be a storyteller.
Yeah.
To earn your place at the dinner table.
I do have to give her that. And there'd be a lot of screaming and shouting and noise, and she'd be always saying, fight for your space, fight for your space, make yourself heard.
So you'd be coming back from the town and be thinking, well, I better do a bit of Pat McCabe, you know.
Yeah, I better make something up, yeah.
I went to the local pub, and then I went to on a spaceship kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I've certainly been making it up ever since, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I know your father died recently. What kind of man was he?
He was quite a complex man. I think he was very different, but he was a beautiful man. But how do I sum him up?
He loved to play the piano.
He was a cattle dealer who played the piano. So that in itself says something about him, I think. Yeah. There's not many cattle dealers who have the most beautiful hands you've ever seen in your life. He had beautiful hands.
And were you coming home to a concerto?
Yeah.
That's my dad.
He was a jazz man. He liked jazz. And he'd always have a nice brandy sitting on the piano.
That's because he had five kids who were dementing him.
Well, look, he was... quite a sophisticated man, you know. He had all that side to him, and yet he was a cattle dealer, you know. So he was interesting,
yeah,
and kind of Anglo-Irishy, you know, as well. Even though they were Catholics, he came from England. They'd come from England. His mother
just
was
skipping
English.
Ahead. Is that why you were attracted to Stephen? He
Possibly.
Was Anglo, you know. Obviously, he went to Harrow, you know. He's by his own admission, he'd call himself a bit of a West Brit.
Yes, possibly. I mean, you know, if they say that you do are attracted to what you know, and there certainly are likenesses with my father. They're very different people. But
how are they different?
But there are likenesses.
Yeah.
You never like to tell yourself that the person you've married is like your dad.
When you go home
you?
To Stephen tonight, say, by the way, you remind me of my father. Yeah.
No, they are very different. But yeah, their backgrounds are not wildly different.
Yeah. And did your father teach you to learn to express yourself in the same way your mother did?
I think my father was much more quiet. My father is more of he's more of an observer. You know, he would have been more of was always a very good critic, in my opinion. Always have a very good, but he was an observer. He would sit back and watch. Like, just, I suppose my mother was the driver of everything in our house, you know, and he wanted an easy life, so he didn't argue with that.
Yeah.
But you know, you were aware of not crossing a line as well. You know, that he was.
And did you ever cross the line as a child?
What child didn't, exactly. But I think I was a pretty good kid.
Yeah.
Back then you didn't behave. There was none of these funky parenting that we do, where we're all friends. There was none of that.
Yeah. And your father, he liked to have didn't like the living room door open, didn't like the banks. Was he expressive in that way? Deirdre, shut that door, you know, don't
Well, he had a horrible experience with the banks, you know, as so many people have. But the 80s recession was very hard on both of my parents. And from then on, the word bank was practically banned in our house. I mean, you could see my father turning into a rage at the mention of them, and having to watch what's happened in recent years.
Yeah.
That nearly killed him altogether. Like, he just couldn't fathom.
Were times tough financially in the 80s because of the recession for your father?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that recession was tough on them, as it was on many people.
Yeah. Did you think you inherited your drive from your mother?
I'm not sure where I inherited my drive. My mother's a driving force in the house, but she didn't get a chance to have a career because she was of that generation of women who didn't work after they were married. She did eventually do all kinds of different things, but she wasn't a career woman. So I don't know. I don't know where I got the ambition from, but I certainly was ambitious.
What did she
think? Maybe still am.
Of how things have turned out for you. She must be very proud of you. I know that's, I mean, what mother isn't, but still, you've done very well.
Does it always be a bit more, God, everybody's on the late this week except yourself.
Do you get that?
I do. I got it the other day. They're all on the late this week. Dara Breed and Abby Hooman, they're all on it. Everyone except yourself. So, you know, it never ends. I said, I can't be on it all the time. I was on it 6 months ago. But it's quite funny. And yes, I think she is proud, but it's never enough, you know. Yeah. As I like to say, if you won one Oscar, they'd be wanting to know where the second one was so you could have bookends.
And where did the desire to be an actress come from?
I think it just came from primary school, being in plays, you know, something
what were you
clicked.
In?
Can't remember. I don't think there were any great works that, you know, we can recall, possibly Jack and the Beanstalk kind of things. But it doesn't matter. My mother's abiding memory is that I dressed everybody in that show. I brought in my father's dressing gown. Their silver goblets went missing. Everything that needed to be in that play came out of our house. And I never asked, can I take this? It was just, I just put stuff in my bag and off I went.
Yeah.
So early on, there was a click at a very young age going, you know, I love this.
And if that hadn't worked out, was there a plan B?
No, never a plan B. Much as every career guidance teacher I ever wanted to begged me, have something to fall back on, dear, to do the nursing, do the secretarial course, have something to fall back on, but I never did. So,
so I am not qualified. The nuns in Loretta weren't telling you to do this.
Was anybody told, was anybody encouraged to do what, to follow your dreams is a new thing.
And so who did you want to be when you were like 17, 18?
I don't think I had a person in a particular person in mind, but I probably wanted to be a film star of some kind. I certainly wasn't thinking I'd love a job in the Abbey.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't grounded in that way.
Because you were probably the wrong sex for it at that stage.
I wish I could just tell you that I had some kind of reality check about myself, but I absolutely didn't. I was just birds.
And when Stephen met you, tell us how you met, like you were living in the Liberties. So was it?
I met exactly the same way Jennifer Aniston met.
This is Friends
Ross.
Before Friends, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Steve lived in number 4 and we lived in number 3.
Was it over a washing line kind of thing?
Over the fence. Over the fence.
Yeah.
In the back garden. That really, actually, the actual truth of the matter is we shared that apartment. I shared that flat with Ali White and Janice McAdam. And Steve shared the house next door with Ed Guiney and Paul Hickey. And Ed, I knew Ed because obviously Dublin is small and he was a producer and Paul was an actor. The one I didn't know was Stephen, who was actually running a company with Ed at the time. But they came to collect my bed to move it because I knew
Why
Ed.
Why did you need your bed?
I had a bed. I was living in
Terranure.
I was living in Terranure. I had a double bed in Terranure. And I remember saying to Ed, are you, you're getting a van, are you, for your move? Do you remember those days? Would you ever help me? I have to move a bed. Yeah, we'll come collect your bed. So the first time I met Steve, he arrived at my house to collect me bed, which we ended up sleeping in for the next 10 years.
Have you ever got a line
on it? The cuteness of it. Actually, never till this minute.
I want a commission on it. And how long before you moved in?
I knew him 2 years. We were in the Liberties 2 years, but we didn't get together till the end of that 2 years. When we were all
You met in Susie
leaving.
Street. What was his opening gambit?
We met in
Is
Susie Street at about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
There was no opening gambit from Steve. I was demented because I was out with somebody who ended up snogging a friend of mine. So when Steve walked in, I was just like, can
so
you believe?
You're on a date with someone and he found you that interesting. He got off with someone.